And here we go for your Tuesday. It is time for Travis Rogers, Alan Sliwa. Travis and Sliwa is on. We're here each weekday, live and local, 9:55 a.m. We go until 12:55 p.m. and then Mason in Ireland. And if you haven't spent time with Travis and Sliwa, this is the kind of show that's close. We're like a close family. So much so that Alan Sliwa didn't tell any of us it was his birthday on Friday.
Low-key sneaky. It was your birthday on Friday? You didn't know? You don't even tell anybody? You just come in and out like it never even happened? That's the sort of guy you are?
Like a ninja, bro. Like a ninja. Just got in. Nothing was mentioned. We were good to go. By the time I was driving away, I'm like, that was...
I did it.
As easy as can be.
Sliwa's ninja birthday. How about that? Meanwhile, today is a big day. Go ahead, Travis. I know you want to say it. Go ahead.
Plus, it's National Fried Chicken Sandwich Day. What makes the perfect fried chicken sandwich? That's our beat, pal.
Now, a fried chicken sandwich. That doesn't like the Burger King crispy chicken sandwich. I think they call it the crispy chicken sandwich. I did a lot of damage on those as a youth. Does that count? These are the important questions we're going to get to. Oh, and the Lakers go to overtime with the Hornets. I mean, who saw that coming? But they win. Sliwa's in a good mood. Let's get to it. Travis and Sliwa, your Tuesday right now.
Here we go.
Live from L.A. Live. Sweet tea, Travis Rogers. Hit him in the face, Sliwa.
I'll still take the face.
Travis and Sliwa right now.
Yeah. Chicken sandwiches, sneaky birthdays, Laker wins. It's a pretty good Tuesday, Al.
First of all, we're not a family, because if we were a family, you would have actually guessed that my birthday was on Saturday, not Friday. So all you did was spend a reference. It was on Friday. You didn't even say anything. I'm like, all right, you're already a day off and everything
else.
Well, I didn't
know. This is the whole point. You didn't even bother to correct me yesterday.
Nothing.
When I said that it was on Friday. You're like, yeah, whatever.
I was already preparing for next year. I'm like, all right, I already got him all over the place.
Ooh, you are sneaky.
A little ninja action
right
there.
That is some sneaky stuff.
Actually, no, here's the funny thing. I didn't know you said Friday until I just
heard
back the...
Yeah, no, look, it's a bad guy move. It's okay.
It's not a bad guy move.
Oh, sure it is. We've got a...
What's worse, the person who doesn't tell you their birthday or the person that won't stop telling you it's their birthday?
The second one. The second one is worse, to answer your question.
Yep.
Yeah, your version is better, but see, this is not just we didn't know it was your birthday, which we didn't. I asked you a few times.
Like, what'd you ask me?
What are you doing this weekend? You got anything special planned? I asked that at least twice. At least both on and off the air. Like, I kind of get if on the air you're like, no, not really. But when I asked you as we're walking to
the
get
problem
coffee.
Is, yeah, but that's the problem. That's the problem is if I would have told you off air, then you would have went on air.
Of course I would have. Like, that's kind of my
deal.
Keep
it moving.
But you could have said, hey, Trav, listen, it's actually my birthday on Saturday. Lady Slee and I are going to go grab a bite. But I'd appreciate it if you just kept that on the down low. I would respect your privacy if you asked for it. Now, if you just said, me and Lady Slee are going to grab a bite, it's my birthday, I would have run back in here and flipped on the mic as quickly as I could. But had you asked for privacy, I would have given it to you.
Straight ninja.
I guess so. The long, skinny chicken sandwich that Chris mentioned, they may or may not have it at Burger King. I don't know.
They still have it.
They still have it. Okay, so that's the one that comes on like almost like a hoagie roll practically. But I do believe they have the more traditional fried chicken sandwich right now, like
Burger
Popeye's.
King's original chicken sandwich.
The original chicken sandwich. Now they have the crispy chicken sandwich. Look, is there any downside to having two options when it comes to a fried chicken sandwich? I vote no. I think that there's plenty of good reasons.
What about spicy chicken sandwiches? Also, do you like those too?
No, I do also spicy good. Way before.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. There's a point. You got to know where you're going. Because if you go to like a Howlin' Ray's, one of those sorts of places, and you go spicy, you're going to blow the roof of your head
off. Funny story. A couple days ago, Rookie needed to go run around.
By the way, I got to meet Rookie via Zoom this morning. That was very exciting.
He's a beast.
You need to feed that dog. He looked a little thin.
He's fine.
He looked like he was trying to eat you at one point. Yeah. So.
He looked hungry.
He eats literally everything anytime. And every meal is as if it's the first meal he's ever had in his life. Okay, he goes, hallucinates, goes crazy. So we're going out to the park. There's a little park area, bro. I thought about you because this was maybe on Friday. I can't remember Friday or Thursday. And I just see these two guys, like, breathing, like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, what the hell are these guys doing? They're on a bench, right, sitting on a bench. And I'm looking at the wrappers. They have food in their mouth. It was Howlin' Ray's.
Yeah, it's good
stuff.
They
were eating Howlin' Ray's.
Yeah,
they were
really
but
good.
The guy was, like, basically sweating and everything else. Yeah. And instantly I thought, 12:45, final 10 minutes of our show, spicy wing or a spicy sandwich, Trav and I.
You're going to keep bringing this up, Alan.
Just until we do it.
It's a good bit. It's a good bit. I'm willing to do it, but let's do it with the chicken sandwiches opposed to the wings, because
I'll do a chicken sandwich.
Wing, I'll eat the wing and then I'll tap the mat, but if we're going, I'm going to finish the whole sandwich. We have a lot of chicken sandwiches.
What if it's, you would finish a whole, I don't know what that spice level is, and so, I know that they, who's the dude that does the
hot wings thing.
The hot wings challenge. They're wearing the gloves.
Yeah.
And I think they ate it at Howland Ray's.
I've had Howland Ray's, and it's really good. And I got the meat, and I'm not spice sensitive. Like, I can have a little heat, and I'm okay. And I can even maybe have a little bit more than average and be okay.
Yep. But I want it to be to where we're both incredibly struggling, and we still have seven more minutes left in the show.
I had the medium one there, and it nearly melted my face off.
Yeah. That was medium?
Yeah. It was hot. It was delicious.
So I think they go medium, spicy, extra, or Howland, or whatever it is.
I'm not messing with that.
We're in, bro.
We're not doing that.
We're in. Funches, call them up, text them, we're in.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. If you want to be a part of the show today, you know how to do it on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. I don't know whether to start with a referee bumping an NFL player.
Yep.
The Jokic brothers being the number one trending thing on Twitter, which is awesome. Just not Nikola Jokic, but Jokic brothers. Mm-hmm. Or we can talk about that the Lakers needed to go to overtime to beat the Charlotte Hornets. I think that's probably the best place to start, because the Lakers just needed a win. Even if that's the win that they got, Al, I'm glad that they got it.
Bro, they had to get it. I mean, listen, if you lost that game yesterday, you'd have lost three games in a row. Mm-hmm. You're not beating Miami tomorrow. I'm sorry. I don't have confidence Lakers are going to beat
the Heat
tomorrow.
Hopefully Jimmy Butler has calmed down a little bit after the Jokic thing
last night. And it has more to do with the fact that, by the way, did you see, I thought I saw a photo of this. Was pretty much the whole roster waiting outside of their locker room?
The Denver locker room?
Yeah.
They were mad.
Jimmy Butler was Kyle Lowry's Bam Adebayo. I want to say maybe Udonis Haslam was there as well.
Not by the Heat guys. Jokic's thing was a bad look.
I know.
That's a bad, bad look.
Okay. Let's actually, because we're having the conversation.
Yeah.
You can tell. So Bam Adebayo looked like he got fouled. Mm-hmm. No call came. Markieff throws his hands up like, why aren't you calling the foul? And was one of those plays, let me stop transition here. But it was an extra little bump with the shoulder.
It was a good, hard foul.
Good, hard foul. Jokic. I mean, and listen, do I think Jokic was trying to hurt somebody? I really don't. I don't think he was trying to hurt somebody. At least I haven't seen something from Jokic where you says to your mind, Jokic is out there trying to.
I agree with that part.
Trying to injure somebody.
Yeah.
The way he hit him. And then Markieff is just sitting like he can't. And Markieff Morris, one of the toughest dudes, played for the Lakers for a couple of years. This is not one of those guys that's trying to.
Anybody come to mind?
He's got to be incredibly injured to not get up. So I say all that, and then, you know, whatever happens after that and Jimmy Butler trying to tell him to come back to the locker room,
Jimmy Butler was bring that blank over here, that he was feeling it. Because, look.
That's the Heat team.
Jokic hit him from behind.
That's Pat Riley's squad.
Course, no,
that's how it is.
If you are not a tough guy, you're not going to survive a Pat Riley team. You're just not. He insists on it. That you need to, the minimum ante to play for Pat Riley is you need to be a tough guy.
Yep.
And the Miami Heat are. And look, Jokic, I think I agree with you, Al. I don't think he was trying to hurt him. But when you're 7 feet tall, I don't know how much Jokic weighs. It's probably 280, 90 pounds.
If you throw
your shoulder into somebody that's not looking, you're going to hurt
right
that guy.
Directly the center of his back.
Watch his head.
I know.
Watch his head
neck
snap
goes
back. That was the part that was really interesting to me. That's not over. You know, like baseball carries grudges. Well, you threw and you hit my guy, so I'm going to wait 6 months to hit your guy, and then you're going to hit my guy again in spring training, and this goes on like the Hatfields and McCoys for generations where people hate each other. Now, the good news, I guess if there is good news, Heat and the Nuggets only play each other twice a year.
So this is different. Why is it different? His brother plays in the Western Conference with the Clippers, and his brother put out a tweet, you know, kind of – you know, saying that noted.
Yeah, I saw that. Then that's when the Jokic brothers came in.
That's when the at Jokic brothers account, which, by
didn't
the way,
exist yesterday.
I was going to say, Funches could have created that after the postgame show yesterday. Just put at Jokic brothers. And I believe it's them, I think. But I feel like anybody could have created that account. So to answer your question, that could easily spill over to a different game because the Clippers will play the Nuggets four times.
Okay.
And when Marcus Morris is going out of his way to put noted, he's not doing it just to do it. I know refs will be extra attention.
That puts his team, the Clippers, in a really weird spot. Yeah. Like, this is not our beef. I get that it's a Morris family beef.
Yeah.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. It's not an LA Clipper beef. I do not need to start a war, a basketball war, a flagrant two foul war. Looking at you, Rondo. I don't need any of these things to affect my team. This is a Miami thing. This is a Denver thing. I understand that somebody hits my brother. I want to even the score. Well, maybe
I can see Marcus Morris going to tell Ty Lue, hey, I don't know what to tell you. I got to do this, is what it is. I'm not saying he's going to go out and do something, but when you put out a tweet said noted, which, by the way, you shouldn't have said anything, and just went out and played a game, and, you know, if he put in a little extra of a foul, I think it would be less. Now you're going to have a lot of eyes on him when they play and everything else. We'll see what happens.
It was interesting along the way. So, yeah, I'll be honest, other than the Jokic brothers and Marcus Morris getting in, I hadn't even thought about the Clipper angle of it all. That's a bad look. He needs to not do that. If he wants to fight him in the parking lot before or after the game. Don't bring that onto the floor for the Clippers. That's bad. For instance, if one of the Morris brothers, we had Markieff, right?
Yeah, Markieff.
If Markieff was still here and this happened to Marcus and he went out there and flattened Jokic because of something that happened to his brother and another team, I'd be furious as a Laker fan. I'd kind of get it emotionally, but that would be a bad deal.
Well, this is where it comes to value, right? Like,
well,
Markieff wasn't Anthony Davis. He wasn't one of these top players.
I understand that. But now all of a sudden, okay, now I got to go even the score with one of these other guys. I don't know. It just seems like a bad deal along the way. They won. Carmelo was great again. Carmelo was not great. Carmelo's been the Lakers' best player through the first 11 games of the season. Without Carmelo Anthony, where would this team be? But is that kind of the end of the list of things that kind of got us excited about last night? Because, well, I was happy that they finally won a game again.
Yeah.
And, you know, the schedule gets a little more challenging from this point forward. But there wasn't a ton to jump up and down and say, there it is. That looks like great basketball again. That's what I was hoping to see.
Well, I don't think much has changed, right? So Lakers go 5-5 to start the season. Without LeBron James, there's no lock to anything on the schedule, period. It doesn't matter who you're playing. If LeBron James isn't on the court, and we even had some games where LeBron was on the court, still wasn't a lock. But if LeBron James is not playing for the Lakers, there is not a game on that schedule that you say that's a guaranteed win. The Lakers have proved so far two losses against the Oklahoma City Thunder, a win by two against Houston, an overtime win against the San Antonio Spurs. They've proved that no game is a lock. So with that in mind, I actually don't think anything was that surprising yesterday. I really don't. I think that it's played out exactly how the season has gone, that through 10 games, they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt to say, oh, well, they're going to walk through the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte's lost five in a row, but that's a better team than their record. They're not a bad team. Charlotte Hornets are young. They got nothing to lose.
They got good players.
Kind of fun to watch. They're, you know, whether it's LaMelo Ball or Terry Rozier or Miles Bridges, they got some nice players.
Yes.
But you were kind of desperate for a win. You were. And I mentioned this to you. Tomorrow Miami is in L.A. That's a really, really tough game for the Lakers without LeBron James. If LeBron was there, still an incredibly tough game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's going to be a chip on their shoulder of some of the stuff that we were just talking about with Denver. You could have been in a position where you now lost four games in a row if you lost that. So just to get that one win in between, I thought it was important for them to get it. Was anything overly impressive? No, but nothing has been impressive so far this year.
No.
It almost falls along the same line as what we've watched.
There's one thing in particular that is not impressive this year. Despite the fact that the numbers are telling you it is, it's not. We're going to get into it next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is Travis and Sliwa. You know, if you're new to the show, welcome. We're here each weekday at 9:55 a.m. in the morning. We go until 12:55 p.m. and then Mason and Ireland. We ask the questions that need to be asked in life.
Which, by the way, I still don't understand why getting a couple boxes from Costco is the biggest deal in the world. Like, I don't understand. What's the magic at Costco of not just having bags? Like, why can't we have anything?
I don't know.
Because there's so much to the world and sports radio than just sports. Travis and Sliwa continues now.
As many bags as possible underneath your kitchen sink? Is that your deal? It's like a war chest of old grocery bags.
If Trader Joe's runs out of bags, call me. I have enough supplies down there for 7 locations in Southern California.
You don't throw those away? You don't reuse them? See, that's why Costco doesn't give you bags, because of you.
By the way, I pay for the Trader Joe's bag.
Yeah, well. I mean, but a dime?
It's a dime
They got to charge more for those bags, right? If they really want people, because look,
they're paper bags. They're not plastic bags.
I understand.
I don't use plastic
but
bags.
But the plastic bags at my grocery store,
I have a plastic bag.
They're like a dime a piece.
Yep.
Right? So even if you go like shopping for the week and you get 10 or 11, it's a dollar. It's not
sometimes I go to Trader Joe's shopping just for bags.
Give me bags.
I'll take 14 bags.
You go underneath that little thing where they have them all stacked up and ready to go. Why not? It's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. How about this? 1 week from today, we're going to announce the name of our award show that's coming up Super Week, right around the Super Bowl.
Yep.
We're going to have the name. We're going to let you know where you can buy tickets. That's coming up 1 week for today. We're going to be able to start voting for things like, I don't know, best segment, which clearly is Ask Slee, as you found out yesterday during halftime of the Lakers game. This is all very exciting.
I'd say it's fourth. You know, it's kind of funny yesterday. So I'm doing. Funch could talk about this too. I'm doing halftime, right? So halftime report. It's like a 5 minute, maybe 5 minutes. The first 5 minutes we go to break, and then another 3 minutes, something like that. And this is also an opportunity. You know, Michael is very. It's Michael Thompson. So a lot of people walk by where he is. Hey, Michael.
Sure.
Quick wave. Hello. Same thing with John. But this specific person wanted to take a picture with Michael. So. Michael, I sit behind Michael.
Okay.
So Michael is in front of me. Right behind him is the engineer, and then I'm to the right.
Sure.
Okay? So the guy is doing like a selfie, you know, taking a picture with Michael, and I'm in the middle of, you know, Lakers 61-60. I'm going through the box score, all that stuff. And this guy looks at me and just kind of like locks eyes, and he's like, Slee, ask Slee. And I'm in the middle of doing whatever update I'm doing. I'm like,
don't forget, he pointed at you too when he did it too.
Right, it was very aggressive. He's like, Slee, and he's like, and I'm like, you know, points in the paint, 24-22, fast break points. And the guy, and I didn't know what to do. Like, he didn't care that I was on air. He didn't care that the headset was on. None of that mattered. It was like, I just want to let you know, Ask Slee. I'm like, Travis has you've sold stock. In this Ask Slee.
It's going
that
up.
Is,
it's not quite Tesla, but it's doing well.
Did he have a question, too? Did he have an Ask Slee? Or are you just saying, I love the segment. Let's go Ask Slee.
He said Ask Slee, and he points at me, and I, like, you know, wave, like, and then
how you doing, buddy?
I went right back to, you know, they really got to do a better job on LaMelo Ball in the second half.
So it's an odd phenomenon because the Ask Slee thing happens to me every Sunday.
No, but the dude was the nicest guy.
They're all the nicest guys. Yeah. But you guys, just here's the thing. I want you to come over. I want you to say hello. I want to shake your hand. I want to take a picture. I want to do all of whatever you want to do. I want to do it. But when I have my headset on and I'm talking into the microphone.
Oh, it didn't matter.
You can't come up and go, dude, dude, Ask Slee. Yeah, I want to talk about Ask Slee. I want to talk about how much it makes Alan uncomfortable. I want to do this with you, but you're going to have to wait 5 minutes so I can finish this thought. That's all I'm asking.
That's just halftime. Come in at halftime.
So, you can also come over to my side of the producer side, you know, whisper and Ask Slee in my ear, and then I'll save it for Monday.
It's pretty great. It is pretty great. Is it a triple-double if you shoot the way that Russ shot last night, if you have the plus-minus that Russ had last night? Is it a stat-stuffing night for somebody like Anthony Davis, who, if you just look at the box score, Anthony Davis's numbers are amazing.
Yep.
13-25, yep. 32 points, 12 rebounds.
How about the defensive side?
Here we go, 4 assists, 3 steals, 5 blocks. That's just remarkable to me. Both of those numbers, or I should say all of AD's numbers, are crazy. Russell Westbrook, 5 of 15. He had 14 assists. He had 12 rebounds, 7 turnovers. But he was also a minus 17 in the plus minus.
3 steals, 17 points.
3
as
steals.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay, so
These are really impressive statistical lines, Al, but the eye test is telling me something. If you said to me, did Anthony Davis have a great game last night? No. Did he have a great statistical game? Yeah. I mean, that's not just good. That's great. Did he dominate that game last night against a mediocre Charlotte team? No. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
So there's something to it. I if you asked me what was the most important parts of yesterday's game,
mm-hmm.
I would have told you that Carmelo's shot making at specific times. You know, sometimes you look at stats and Carmelo, 7 of 10 from the 3-point line. I think he ended up 9 of 13 from the field. He was great. But it's not just 29 points. It's when do you score your 29 points? Is it a momentum-changing 3-pointer that now Staples Center, when Charlotte felt like, hey, we got a chance to take control of this game, and then boom, before you know it, Carmelo hits another 3 and Lakers go up 2 and Staples Center goes crazy.
Yeah.
We could look at the numbers, we can watch the numbers, but it's the impact every play has. Carmelo was one of those. Do you know the other incredible impact last night was? Rondo,
sure.
Played a total of 12 minutes.
They're impactful.
He was plus 20, he had 8 assists. Every time he had the ball, it was a dime to Anthony Davis or it was a dime to Carmelo Anthony. He was Rondo. Rondo is known for, back in his days, he has control of the game. You feel comfortable when that quarterback has the ball.
No doubt.
Right? So, and by the way, Rondo made a mistake yesterday, a flagrant two, where you just kind of put your hands on your head. It's like, Rondo, you can't freaking do that in today's NBA.
Yeah, it was a dumb foul, but it didn't feel like it warranted an ejection to me.
Let's say it's not a flagrant two. It's the NBA. The NBA, you kind of put yourself at risk every time you put yourself in that position. So I say that because Carmelo and Rondo, I thought, had the most impactful plays through the game.
No question.
Especially in that stretch. There was a stretch. Once Rondo went out, everything changed. So now Russ is back in the game. Russ, do you have control of the game? Are you setting up the guys similar to how Rondo does it? Are you impacting the game that, you know, defenses on the other side really have to worry about you having the ball? Listen, it's not like Rondo went out there and took 15 shots. No, Rondo found take over the game by being a facilitator, by being a quarterback.
He had no points and was in complete control of the game. He was really, really good. And I like how you said it, that do you have control of the game? Rajon Rondo, yep, no question about it. Does Russell Westbrook? At times, but not as often as he probably should. Does he impact the game? Rondo, no question about it. Anthony Davis, I thought, had his best little spurt when he was out there with Rondo. They've got a little connection.
100% they have a connection.
That's just very, very different and very obvious than the connection with Russell Westbrook. Makes a little sense. They've played together multiple times. New Orleans,
Lakers won a championship.
It's a work in progress, but there just seems to be this when Russ is out there, and this has been my objection all along to this trade. My concern about this is that when he plays, the Lakers look like five guys all kind of doing their own thing. When Rondo was playing, it looked like a basketball team.
Here's the problem. You know what the problem with that is? You're not going to be able to depend on Rondo to do that on a night-in-night-out basis. You're not. So there's two ways to look at this, because there's the side of it that says, and we've heard Coach Vogel say this, and I've said it as well, isn't this part of the luxury? This is why you have Russell Westbrook. If LeBron misses some games,
that's what I was told,
then you're supposed to have a player that comes in that can kind of handle things, handle the offense. He could be more himself, which, by the way, listen, I'm going to go back to this. Statistically, those stats are there. But what we're, nitpicking on is, what is the impact of those stats? Is every possession that you have the ball, is it a positive for the, for the group that's out there, or is it a negative for the group? And I think that's the problem with Russell Westbrook right now. I'm going to suggest something for Russell Westbrook. Now, I don't know how much you're going to think that this is realistic or not, and we can do this coming back, but we want to talk about Russ, and if you want to comment at all on any one of or any part of last night's game, you can do that, 877-710-ESPN.
All right, so I want to do that, and there's also we're already changing the moving the goalposts. We're already changing the talk. Well, no, it's not when Russ is here, when LeBron is going to be on the bench, he's going to miss. That's when you need him. Now we're saying, well, no, Russ is going to be better when LeBron is back.
I think he's showing that.
Okay, but we've already changed the tune 11 games in. We've already said, nah, it wasn't what we thought. It's going to be something different. So that needs to be a part of it as well. 877-710-ESPN. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Number one thing to have on your chicken sandwich is what? And don't say chicken.
Pickles?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, look, Al's coming around.
Yeah.
This is
good. Oh, by the way, I went to Sunday night. I don't know if you guys know this. I was at a SoFi Stadium on Sunday night.
And, oh, no, I know.
And it was your birthday weekend. Let's not forget
that.
And
the Rams lost.
I went to a Rams-Titans left solid in the fourth quarter. Like, I don't know, 14 minutes left in the fourth. Was like, all right, guys, great to see everybody. And it was no, like... You know how some people have shame in leaving early?
Uh-huh.
I was like, how great is this? There's nobody in the parking lot. By the way, where the hell is parking H? Yeah. Like, that takes
you need,
that in itself
you need
is
like
45
a
minutes.
To get back.
I left in the fourth quarter, you know, right as it started. I think I left the parking lot at the end of your post-game show. Just I couldn't find my car.
It's a big lot.
So I leave, and I get home, and my girl said, you want to go get some In-N-Out? I said, yeah. Yeah, you know what? Let's go get some In-N-Out. That's not a common thread for me yet. Well, I guess it is because I remember I told you I got Mexican food one time. It was like 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So we go to In-N-Out.
Okay.
I think you'd be kind of proud of the order.
Hit me.
Yeah, I had to go through some rough pains of figuring out what the hell I was doing for a little bit here.
Look, there's a learning curve for everybody. It's fine.
So did double-double.
Okay.
Raw onions.
Great.
Put the chilies,
sure.
Put those in there. I actually did not know. I thought you always just get those on the side.
No,
and
they're
when
on
I told
the
him, can you put them in there? He goes, oh, yeah, no, we cut them up and put them in.
Chop them up, like, chop chilies.
Okay.
Sure.
So those go in there. Extra crispy fries.
Sure.
And a strawberry shake, and let's call it a day.
What? See, was that so hard?
Wasn't that hard. They gave you, and by the way, this is another thing, can I just say? They're so freaking nice.
There's a reason they sell 8 trillion cheeseburgers a night.
You know what's funny? When I first did
they've got it figured out pretty well.
But, you know, you can have something figured out, but it's your people. That's who represents
but that's what
your
they've
business.
Got figured out. The line's always long,
yep.
And it always moves pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The people always get your order right. They're always very friendly. They always follow up. They always repeat it back to you. It is outstanding.
So I ordered, you know, when you're in the drive, this one was just a drive-through. There's no, you know, it's not a store. Yeah, sit down. So the guy is out there, and he's taking the order. And I didn't say strawberry shake. So when I got to the front, I was like, hey, can I add something to it? She's like, of course. I'm like, strawberry shake. She's like, oh, you got to have that. I'm like, okay.
She's giving you permission.
And she's like, you got to have that. And then when I got it, you know, the first thing you do, I don't know if you're patient enough, but, you know, she just kind of handed it to me. I'm going to start taking a sip. Okay.
Yes.
She's standing there. She goes, am I right? Like, she gave me one of those, like, I'm like, yeah, you actually,
you are right.
You are right.
Yeah, next time, up your game. Go Neapolitan shake. You get a little bit of all three. You get a little bit of all three. It's a pretty good deal. It's a pretty good way to do it. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Let's try the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Let's try Lou in Buena Park. Lou, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on, Lou?
Hey, guys. Yeah, you can't go wrong with In-N-Out.
Nope.
I was kind of pissed off yesterday when Carmelo and Russ got those technicals. I mean, we were up by... what, 9 points was it at the time? And we just gave them like 5 points with that possession. It was, and I'm questioning the IQ of the team.
Lou, veterans too.
You mentioned,
Lou,
you mentioned, a veteran team with,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good, buddy. I was just going to say, just kind of play off what you said. This shouldn't come, if the Charlotte Hornets got a couple youngsters who are 20, 21 years old, haven't been in the league for a while and make a couple of mistakes, that's one thing, but not vets, you know, not these players that you're mentioning, but continue with your point.
Yeah, no, and then I think if Rondo would have been in there, maybe he could have settled them down or something. Or I don't know, even the coach. I don't know. There's too many veterans. There's too much expertise on that team for something like that to happen. And that to me was like a moment where I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, what are these guys?
Lou,
what are these guys thinking?
You bring up a good point. Thanks for the call. I had the same thought that what you're talking about to what you were saying a second ago, Al. If young guys let their emotions get the best of them and they have, you know, some fouls and some tees and all of a sudden you turn a 9-point game into a 4-point game because you give somebody a 5-point possession, It's not good, but you kind of get it. They're working their way through it. That's not what this was. These are older players, veteran players. And to Lou's point, there are not a ton of times where it feels like everybody's on the same page with this team. And that's what I've been saying for weeks now. It's I get that they don't play well yet together. I'm willing to stipulate that maybe that's a work in progress. Okay, fine. But the look of it all, it doesn't look like everybody has the same goal in mind. It doesn't look like everybody's on the same page. It doesn't look like this is a team that has a plan when they go out there. It looks like five guys that are out there just kind of doing their own things, taking turns doing their own things. And the one little run yesterday where it didn't look like that is when Rondo and AD started to get going. You're like, well, that looks really good.
And Carmelo was right there as
Carmelo
well.
Carmelo was good all night. Mm-hmm. But yes, you're right. And that was the first little glimpse in a while where I've seen that look like a really good team. I think Lou's point's a good one where it doesn't feel like these guys have a good sense of what they want to be as a team.
Jamal in Long Beach. Jamal, what's going on? You're on the Travis and Sliwa show.
What's up, fellas? Man, I just wanted to just talk about the Russell Westbrook experiment. Travis, you said this before when the deal happened. You said that the Russell Westbrook, you worried about the way he plays the game. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 5.1 turnovers this year. Mm-hmm. He's shooting about 20% from three and like 38% from the field. He has bad IQ at times and judgment calls, and when it gets to a point where the games get tight, he wants to play hero ball, but he's not a good enough shooter to be able to play hero ball. He's not buying into the system, and it's affecting how the Lakers are playing. Like, we've had a lot of games where we've been up 15, 13, 25, and when he gets back in the game, it just goes to I don't want to say the word, but it just goes really bad. I just think that the Russell experiment, I think it's not working out, and it's due to the fact that him getting in his own head.
Appreciate you calling in, Jamal. Appreciate you calling in. First of all, let's say this. When we say something's not working out, this is a incomplete project that, listen, you
haven't even had the midterm yet.
LeBron's got to be there. Guys like THT have to be there.
It's not what they were saying at the beginning of the season, but okay.
Well, the idea and the concept was you can still hold your own if LeBron's not there because you have Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
Let me go ahead and adjust where we sit today.
Okay.
The whole thing is incomplete, and it's going to be incomplete until LeBron James is in the lineup. And we've seen LeBron in the lineup a bit, and even with that, there are times you're scratching your head. But it's going to be incomplete until that piece is there on
LeBron?
A consistent basis. From that perspective, it's going to be incomplete. But the other part about Russ, I don't know what you want me to tell you. You have to adjust your game. You just do. There's, for the sake of the Los Angeles Lakers and where you want to go to, there has to be some type of adjustments. You cannot play 110 miles per hour in a game when it's clearly not clicking. If Russ was clicking and every time he had the ball, we're saying to ourselves, okay, something's good has happened, whether Russ is getting to the basket, he's putting pressure on defense, and he's kicking it beautifully out to Wayne Ellington or Carmelo. That's not the case. You and I said this. That the stats so far, Russ's stats, just look at the stat line. I'd walk away and say, that's a damn good game.
Yeah.
Except you didn't shoot very well.
Turnovers.
And you had seven turnovers. But the impact of Russell Westbrook so far, there's a lot of times, I'm with Jamal on this, he looks a little lost out there.
Yeah. All right. There's still a lot more to get into with Russell Westbrook. We'll pick it up at about 10:55 after Bunch of Funch, which is coming up next. But I want to say this. Russell Westbrook's game has been exactly what I thought it was going to be. Exactly. I'm not saying it's a finished product. I'm not saying it can't change. I'm saying through 11 games, all of my concerns have been on full display. It is exactly what I feared.
Again,
the most.
It's an incomplete project.
I'm not saying this is not an I told you so, but what we've seen so far is, exactly what I was worried about. Bad shooting. Him not being a team player, not in a selfish way, in a going 1,000 miles an hour, and it's just looking disjointed. There hasn't been a whole bunch of things.
When you say team player, you correct me if I'm wrong here. What I think you're referring to, Russ wants to win more than anybody else on this team. Russ does not have selfish intentions on this team. But I think what you're saying is his style of basketball at times hurts the Lakers,
and he doesn't adjust. It does not. His style of basketball is not helping.
Well, he's going to have to adjust then.
If he can. And that's the million-dollar question. Can somebody change? Bunch of Funch with a new guy, Michael Funches. He's in here
Never
today.
Heard of him.
It's coming up next, 710 ESPN. Do you know this Funchess guy? Have you
no
met
idea.
Him before?
No, I never
Looks
met
like
him.
Looks like a nice guy.
I've
Tall,
seen
thin,
his
nice guy.
I've seen his name on our ESPN call list, like our phone list that they send out every couple of months, but I literally have never met the guy.
I'm Travis. That's Alan. Mike, nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you guys.
Do you prefer Funch or Mike?
Whatever you guys want to call
Granted, I was hanging out with him in that studio 6 hours ago as he was producing the Lakers game.
7:30 tip.
Well, I miss you guys, too. They got me on a Howard Stern deal. I come in whenever I want to, you know, a couple days a week, and they pay me a lot of money.
Bro. Do your thing.
What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, as you know, I'm not here for every show because I'm working at night with Alan doing the Laker games and stuff like that. So I get to go to every road game, and you just start to notice improper – you know, game etiquettes and the stuff that you don't like to see at games and stuff like that. I'll start with me. What I hate to see at games is people just standing up, you know, over people that are sitting down.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You know, just because they have to see the player or whatever.
Yep.
And then also the guys, you know, sitting close to the front row or whatever that they have to argue with the ref. They have to holler at the athletes and the basketball players like they know them and stuff like that. But what drives me nuts the most is when there are two teams playing and you see another person wearing a jersey of another team that doesn't
belong. Randomness of it?
Yeah. Like,
I kind of respect
that. I've seen Warrior jerseys at Laker games the past couple weeks. Like, the Warriors hasn't played, you know, at Staples Center since the first week of the season. Exactly. So I still see these Warrior jerseys or these Grizzly jerseys or whatever, you know. It makes me crazy. Guys, do you have any improper game etiquette things or things that you just hate to see at games? I'll start with you, Travis.
Yeah, you kind of touched on one. One of the things that if the game is going on, if there's action, if the game is being played, I don't mind if you jump up when something cool happens, but you can't be making an endless trek back and forth from the concessions or the restroom or whatever it is you're doing.
Or you're just standing up just because and people behind you are sitting down.
If you are blocking someone else's view, unless you're jumping up because you saw a crazy dunk or a home run or something, that's different. But let's make sure that you're not wearing a rut between yourself and the bathroom, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the other thing is, and this is a little bit old man-y, you ready? Can you not ruin it for everybody around you? Can you not be so loud about whatever it is that you're into? If you're cheering for the team, great. If you're cheering for the other team, I'm okay with that. But let's just not carry on your conversation about what happened to you at work the night before loud enough so four guys in rows behind you know exactly what's up.
Okay, I got a couple things myself here. First of all, let's do this. As far as etiquette goes, the game's not that important. Nobody needs to throw down at a game, okay? Can we stop all of a sudden pretending like this is life or death?
Yeah, I see
at
a lot of those videos.
I felt like that didn't even need to be said, right?
Okay,
don't beat people up should be on the list.
No throwing down. It's not even beating people up, but it's everybody wanting to square off against each other because the other fan is wearing a different jersey. Okay, that's one. Second thing is go enjoy yourself, have a good time. There's a stage of getting hammered, okay? I was walking at a SoFi on Sunday, and some girl just has her hand like on her hands on her head. I'm like, she's either going to throw up or she just threw up. One of the two is going to happen. Just kind of know your limits. Yeah. You know, kind of control yourself a little bit there.
It happens.
Final thing I have here on some of the etiquette. People like running their mouth. It's good to like cheer with your fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Titan fans on Sunday night, I mean, going out of their way to turn around and make eye contact with Rams fans, getting your you-know-what kicked. Oh, yeah, you like that one, don't you? I'm like, guys, just...
This is going to end badly for you.
Just a couple high fives here with your Titans people and call it a day. Why are you going out of your way to run your mouth to the opposing fan base?
It's a bad deal.
Another one that I have, too, just quickly, is you don't need to record the whole game. You can DVR it at home. You don't need to have your phone out recorded the entire game. You get a picture, you get a video, maybe to post on social media, and then you're done.
Or the person that has to FaceTime their best friend and say, hey, look where I'm at.
Okay, but how about when it's a, you know, let me use as an example, Bellinger hits that three-run homer, right? Maybe that situation's a little bit different, but there's times people in the stands have an unbelievable, authentic video and are like, wait, how long were you recording for?
They've recorded every play. That's why it's like shooting a right. It's not just that you got lucky and you had your phone out at that one. They're shooting every pitch, hoping to get the one.
At 7:14, they started recording, and it was 10:08.
It's about right.
When Bellinger hit that homer.
It's about right.
All right, next one. One of my favorite athletes ever, Penny Hardaway, did an interview with SI talking about his University of Memphis team, which he is a head coach. And when he talked a little about his playing days, he said this.
As a player, that I'm not one of the top players. I feel like I did get injured, but I showed enough in the game to know that I am one of the top players ever played a game.
That's right. He said he's one of the greatest ever of all time. Even though his career was riddled with all kinds of injuries, Penny played 15 years in a league, and he could have played in a possible 1,230 games, but he only played in 704 of those games.
Just a little over half.
Yeah, basically, right? But I do agree with him. If it weren't for the injuries, he would probably be a top 10 player of all time. Question here, guys, is what are some other athletes that didn't fulfill their potential because of injuries, Sliwa?
All right, so a couple I'll go through in the NBA. Grant Hill always had injuries. You know, one that kind of sticks out for me, Brandon Roy. Remember Brandon
sure,
Roy, the Portland Trailblazers?
He was awesome. University was really of Washington, good. He was
dude
great.
Dude was a baller. He was fantastic. He was an easy guy to like.
He was.
He had his injuries. Trying to think of a couple more here. I mean, you know, you can look at – this is not a good comp or a good example, but it's a Laker. Andrew Bynum, it felt like overnight, was just gone out of the NBA.
The craziest thing about Bynum, we were talking about this the other day, Andrew Bynum could easily still be in the NBA. Easily.
Yeah, I think he's only 33, 34 years old, or something
like
that.
He could easily still be in the NBA, and it feels like he's been gone forever. That's how young he was, and that's how quickly he went away.
There's a couple guys right there.
Yeah. No, for me, I'm going to go to my sport of baseball, and it's kind of quasi here local. He was the number two pick out of USC. He's currently the Dodgers pitching coach, Mark Pryor. Mark Pryor was Nolan Ryan. Oh. He was the guy that was going to rewrite every single record book, and he and Kerry Wood with the Cubs were just going to go and pitch the Cubs into World Series after World Series after World Series. He had a season in 2003 where he struck out 245 guys. Mm-hmm. He was 18-6. He had an ERA of under 2.5, and it was let's go. And that was it.
Remember Kerry Woods? What was
that
it?
Was
his
it?
20 strikeouts? He had 20 in a game?
He had a 20-strikeout game with one hit, and it was a swinging bunt, an infield hit. It was the most dominant performance ever. Mark Pryor, his mechanics were perfect.
Yeah.
His mentality was perfect. Mm. His temperament was perfect. Everything was good. He just couldn't stay
it
healthy.
It is kind of cool seeing him when, you know, a pitcher's got an issue in the fourth inning, and it's him coming out to the mound. I'm like, oh, yeah, Mark Pryor.
He was unbelievable.
Was it arm problems or
it
what?
It was arm problems, yeah, and it just never happened for the guy. It's just
he was lights out.
Really sucks. He was amazing.
Yeah, trying to think if there's another player, but I think those are the ones that come to mind there.
All right, so we're talking about Russ. We're talking about his performance so far through the first 11 games, plus something interesting that Anthony Davis said after that game about leadership that I want to play for you, Al. That's all coming up. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.